if God's children have been deceived into believing that Satan is invincible, and that when he comes to tempt a man, there is nothing the individual can do to withstand him, that he has so many devices at his disposal, when we resist him on one front, we can always fall back to some other device, so that whether we desire it or not, eventually, he must triumph over us in it. This, which is a common view among God's children, is a lie of the devil. It is a lie designed to blind us to the steps which Satan uses in temptation. For if we understand these steps and are on guard against them, if we understand that
say from Nashville, Tennessee. I only have one suggestion for improvement. Those of you who were watching the children who were up here, there was one little boy who was kind of giving it this in the back. That's what we call rhythm in some circles. We're so glad you can be here tonight and hope you brought your Bible with you. We're going to be in Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. It is now 35 minutes till nursery time for me. Where's Philip? I wanted him to be sure and appreciate that extra 5 I got. He's hiding somewhere. Mark chapter 14. We're going to read 3 verses. No, we're not. We're going to read 6 verses. Start with verse 3 down to verse 8. Next time I come to Mid-South, I promise I'll know how to count. Mark 14, 3 through 8. And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and had been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever you will, you may do them good. But me you have not always. She hath done what she could. All out giving. Wholeheartedness. Sacrifice. These are words that mark the spirit of the lives and the actions of the people who live in the New Testament times. The spirit of the church. The spirit of the followers of Jesus. The spirit of New Testament Christianity. You see, half and half is okay for your coffee. It's terrible for the Christian life. Here is a woman. And as I read the scriptures, it seems to me that women like this stand out off the page of the scripture more than the men. Hear me, men. Here is a woman who, when she had finished what she had to give to the Lord, he could look at her, he could analyze her resources, all of her potential, her personality, all that she owned and kept in the world, and he could say, she hath done what she could. That was the early church. Those were the early followers of Jesus. And they did it with joy, I might add. This was an act of worship for her. She had been looking forward, treasuring the moment when she could take this precious possession of hers and lavish it on the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no sorrow here of begrudgment. And if there were tears, there were tears of joy. It is with a happy spirit and a willing heart that she gave her best to Jesus Christ. We contrast with Christians like her of the first century, those of us of the 20th century. There was a Communist Party officer who put this article in a newspaper for the Communist Party in China. We communists do not play with words. We are realists. Seeing that we are determined to achieve our object, we know how to obtain the means of our salaries and wages. We keep only that which is strictly necessary, and we give up the rest for propaganda purposes. To this propaganda, we concentrate all of our free time and part of our holidays. You Christians only give a little time and money to the spread of the gospel. How can anyone believe in the supreme value of your gospel if you do not practice it, if you do not spread it, if you do not sacrifice either time or money for it? Believe me, it is we who will win, for we believe in our communist message, and we are ready to sacrifice anything, everything, even our lives, that we might triumph. But you Christians are afraid to soil your hands. No one would have ever written a letter like that to the early Christians. It never could have been said. It would have been laughed right out of the society to even think to say such a thing of the early followers of Christ. And I'm here to tell you tonight on behalf of God that the world needs followers of Jesus Christ like those we read about in the Bible. Those whose commitment is wholehearted and not with a spirit of grudging it to God, but who have come to the place in their life where with joy we can offer up to Him the very best that we have. That is exactly what He is worth. And far more than that. But when we have given our best, and when we have given our all, at least then the Lord could say of us, they have done what they could. Whatever else anyone might say about how you fall short, or how I fall short, and what we have to offer to God, at least the Lord could come to our defense and say, they have done what they could. Is that true of us tonight? Have we done what we could for Jesus? There will come a day, and that day will come sooner than most of us think, when this whole age of time that we live in will be gone. Time is short. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. You may not be here. You may be at the real Mid-South Conference in heaven for the 30th anniversary. That would be a wonderful place to meet, wouldn't it? And the guest speaker will be the Lord Jesus Christ. Time is running out for us in this life to show the Lord Jesus our love and our loyalty to Him. And young people, if you're going to wait until you're 30 or 40 or 50 or until you retire, you may miss the only opportunity you ever have to show the Lord right now in this life your loyalty to Him. I had a brother who waited and hoped that one day he would be able to show the Lord and give the Lord of his best. And he was buried the day before his 21st birthday, 10 years ago next week. Tomorrow is a promissory note. Now is the time to show the Lord what He is worth to us. Now is the time to give Him our devotion. In heaven, everyone will be praising Him. In heaven, everyone will be loyal to Him. What about us now, down here, in the scene of His rejection? can he say of us, they stood with me in the place where I was rejected, in spite of the scorn, and those who said, why this waste of a life? Why waste your life giving it to Christianity? Why waste your life studying the Bible? Why waste your life being a missionary? Why waste your life serving God? You will hear that. We hear that. Turn a deaf ear to them and remember what the Lord Jesus had to say as he looked at that woman with a smile of loving appreciation and said, she hath done what she could. I wonder tonight, what will the Lord Jesus say of us when we come to the place where he evaluates our lives? Most Christians today are accustomed to living in a society where we do what we want. Or we live like these bugs that are around me by our feelers. I don't feel like this or I don't feel like that. What would we have in the book of Acts and the history of the New Testament if those who were followers of the Lord Jesus lived by their feelings? Not to deny that we have them, we most certainly do, but feelings were meant to serve us, not to lead us. Have we done what we could? Are we living all-out Christianity? Are we serious about our Christianity? Are we holding back? Is there some secret reserve in your life tonight? Something that you have kept back that you could offer to the Lord? Your life, your service, your resources, your heart? Or can the Lord Jesus look at us and can he appreciate that with joy and with love to him we are doing, we are giving, we are being for him all that we can? This woman stands off the pages of Scripture because I don't know of any other place in God's Word where a person was assessed like she was, where a person was evaluated and given this trademark, this hallmark of appreciation that the Lord Jesus gave her of having done all that she was capable of doing. We want to think about this tonight then. And to answer the question for our lives and for our assembly, have I done all that I could? Am I doing all that I can? I want you to think with me about some of the joys that are before us that are answers to this question. And the first joy is the joy that this woman had, the joy of knowing for sure that your sins are forgiven and that you belong to the one that she was worshiping here, the Lord of the universe. Have you come to the place where you know something of the joy of salvation? I mean, are you saved? It is a wonderful thing to be saved, and it is an awful thing to be lost. I cannot think of anything more wonderful that's ever happened to me in my life than the day I found out that Jesus Christ was Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The day he brought peace into my life, he forgave my sins, and he gave me the promise of life forever in heaven with him. Does that happen to you? You die before this conference is out. Will you know the joy of going to be with him? Do you have the joy of salvation? Or do you have the grim determination of a person who goes to church, who tries to read the Bible, who tries to pray? You're trying to do the best that you can, and you're hoping that one day, if I'm sincere enough, if I work at all of this hard enough, one day God may let me into heaven, just maybe. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. You lay down and go to sleep tonight, last thing before you sleep, ask yourself, is there rest in my soul tonight? My friend, that's what Jesus Christ came to the earth to give, not to start a new religion or to lay down a bunch of new rules to follow. He came to give rest and joy to our hearts. Do you have it? The joy of salvation. There is no better night to get saved than tonight. Now is the time of salvation. And so for you, the application is, if you can't answer the question, yes, by the grace of God, I know that Jesus Christ died for my sins. I trust in Him. I gave my life to Him, and He has saved me, forgiven me. If you can't say that for sure, you would be a fool to leave here tonight. But if you can say it for sure, you ought to be the most joyful person in the world. You have something that government and empires and depression and nothing else that you can name can ever take away from you. Salvation. That's the first joy. The second joy. The joy of fellowship with God. Have we, who are Christians, done what we could in fellowship with God? Have you walked in fellowship with God this week? Supposing we were to go through the whole crowd of us tonight, and we had a big screen up here behind me, and on one side of the screen, we put your face, a picture, and on the other side of the screen, we put the number of hours or minutes or seconds that you spent in fellowship with God this week. Would you like to do that? God, my friend, doesn't just want to save us. He saved us because He loves us. And He wants communion with us. He wants to hear us talk to Him. And He wants us to let Him talk to us. He wants our hearts to enjoy Him. Does your heart enjoy God? Do you have quiet time of personal fellowship with the living God? Or is He way off behind some distant cloud, someone that you send out an emergency prayer to when you're in the distress spots of life only? Is that what God has to do to get fellowship with you? Let a few of the arrows of the enemy fall near your path or whiz by your head, and then we turn to Him in fellowship. There was a little boy who was walking with his father, and they passed through a neighborhood where there was a tremendously big dog, and he thought this dog would eat him alive. And he ran, and he got right next to his dad, and he held his hand. And his dad said to him, "Son, how come you don't hold my hand all the time? How come you don't like to be this close to me all the time? How come it's just when this big dog is around?" And he said, "Oh, Daddy, you know I love you anyway, don't you?" That's the way we are with God. And sometimes, the reason why things happen to us is because God looks at us, He loves us, He wants us near Him, and He says, "Bless their hearts, they're not doing what they can to have fellowship with me. What can we do?" Maybe this will remind them. Have you done what you could this week, this year? Is your life a life that experiences the joy of fellowship with God? Or are daily devotions a drudgery to you? Boy, here's a woman who loved her moment of devotion with the Savior. She loved to lavish upon Him not only the gifts that she had to bring, but the worship of her heart. When was the last time you told the Lord Jesus how much you loved Him? Have you done what you could? For us, there is another joy that comes to us in the Christian life, and it is the joy of evangelism. That is the joy not only of being saved ourselves and experiencing fellowship with God ourselves, but of having others come into this relationship where they are, by the grace of God, saved, and where they enjoy the Lord. You know, one of the most awesome realities in the world that we live in today of 4.5 billion people is the death statistic. 3 people die every second in the world that we live in today. And so you can watch the second hand of your clock, as some of you will be doing when it gets to be about nursery time for me. 3, 6, 9, 12, 15, 18, and you can go right on. 180 every minute. 10,800 people every hour. A relentless toll. While we are sitting here in this meeting tonight, of over an hour and a half, the time we spend together total just about, 15,000 people will have died, will have passed into eternity. And this will continue all through the night while we sleep, and all the next morning while we are eating breakfast, and while we are singing our hymns, and while we are having the morning messages. On and on and on it goes, never stopping. What a joy to be able to reach out to some of these people who are passing into eternity and to help them make sure of heaven forever. What a joy to be able to say, by the grace of God, I was led across the path of this person who didn't know the Lord, and now they know the Lord. Has that ever happened in your life? Have you ever had the joy of leading another person to the place where they could see that Jesus died for their sins on the cross, was buried, rose again, and where by the Spirit of God convicting them, they turned their lives over to Him? I'll tell you, it's hard to witness that without weeping tears of joy. The only joy greater than my own salvation is the joy of seeing other people come to the Savior and trust Him. I know a man one time who was taking the shuttle helicopter from one airport to another in New York City. And while he was getting on the helicopter, he noticed that he was the first passenger on board. He began talking to the crew members and sort of jesting and laughing with them up front. And while he was talking to them, he felt the urge, you might say, or the thought crossed his mind in the Spirit of God to take out tract that he had in his pocket and to give one to each of the crew members. But he was laughing and talking to them. It was kind of a light moment, and he thought to himself, well, I don't want to ruin everything. They'll think I'm a religious fanatic or something. So he stifled the urge. He didn't give them the tract. He sat down in his seat. They took him to his destination. The next day, he picked up the morning's newspaper, and there was the helicopter crashed. All of the crew members, dead. He read the names of the crew members. Every one of them were the ones that he had seen the day before. Who has God brought across your path this week? You say, no one. I've been out at a Christian conference. Do you think there just might be a slim chance, maybe one in a million, that when you leave here and go back out to the real world, you might come across the path of someone who's headed into a lost eternity? What a joy to be able to say, I pointed them on the way to heaven. Do you have that joy tonight? Do you witness for the Savior? Are you doing what you can? Did He say that of you when He looks at how much of the gospel has been entrusted to you? In a country with complete liberty. Liberty that Christians in other countries pray for day and night and never have. And can the Lord Jesus look at us who live in this country with freedom to speak, to write, to visit, to do anything we need to do to get the gospel out? And can He say, we've done what we could? Or do we use our freedom for other things instead? There is the joy of Christian stewardship. This is a joy that really does not become full until we get to heaven. It is like the joy of witnessing and leading people to Christ. Because for that joy to reach its fullest, we must see them in glory like Paul speaks of. He said to the Thessalonians, what is our joy or our crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you at the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ? You are our joy and crown. And he was saying to them, when I see your faces, when I stand there in the glory, and I see you across the way in that multitude of people who are redeemed, my heart is going to well up with joy. He was a man who lived a hard life. He made sacrifices. He lost his friends. He lived homeless. He starved at times. He spent a day and night in the deep. He was beaten. He was prisoned. But he says, when I see you there in the glory land, it will be worth it all. That's the joy of evangelism. And the joy of Christian stewardship is like it. The Lord Jesus said, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Where's the treasure tonight? You know what makes heaven more real? The same thing that makes the bank that you bank at your bank. You can ride down the street and you can say, well, now there's a bank, and there's a bank, and there's a bank, but there's my bank right there. And that building is sort of like, it has the effect on you of the bell on Pavlov's dog. You know what I mean? They ring the bell and the dog salivates. They're ready to eat. When you pass by that bank, you feel completely different about it from every other bank. Why? Oh, because that's where my money is. That's my bank. We say that. All of us are executive vice presidents of the bank that has our money. Or at least that's what they tell us on the television. Is the bank of heaven your bank? Are you looking forward with joy to the day when you will see the treasures that you have laid up in heaven? Because that's what happened. And the waste that they spoke of here in Mark 14 was no waste at all. Everything that this woman lavished on the Lord Jesus, and incidentally it was a year's wages, all in one gift, not divided up into 12 months and four meetings every month. In one 15 or 20 minute period of time, this woman lavished a year's wages on the Lord. Do you think if we could call her out from glory tonight, just to speak to us for a moment and say, now, we want to ask you, you've had a lot of time to think about this. Would you give any different advice to any of us down here today, or would you recommend your example? What do you think she would say? She would say, do what you can. Do whatever you can. Don't hold back for the Lord. You know why? Because He's worth it. He's worth it. The joy of Christian stewardship. Have we done what we could with our money and with our material possessions? There's nobody to teach you in the world like children. My son came to me one day right after his birthday, and he'd gotten a lot of money. You know how grandparents and everyone does. They send him a dollar or two or 10 or 20 and a card. And my son must have had about $15 or $20 all saved up here. He'd gotten out of his birthday card. He said, Dad, you know what I'm going to do with this money? Boy, you could almost see the dollar signs in his eyes. And he'll be mad at me when he gets old for telling this on him. He said, I'm going to take this money, and I was all ready to hear something real spiritual. He said, I'm going to go out and I'm going to buy me one of those toy trucks, you know, one of those big ones. And then I'm going to give the change to God. And I laughed, and I went in, I started to tell my wife about it, and I got about 10 steps toward the kitchen, and the thought crossed my mind. Now, where did he learn that? Well, maybe I won't tell my wife after all. You know what? That's the way a lot of big people are. We take our money and we get what we have always wanted with it, and then we give the change to God. And we teach our children to do the same. Have you done what you could tonight? You know about the little boy who was given 2 dimes to take them to the Sunday school? He said, one of them is for you, his dad said. You buy yourself ice cream on the way home, and the other one is for you to give to the Lord in the offering. So he went to the Sunday school, and he got about just about right in front of the chapel building, and he tripped and he fell down, and his dime, one of the dimes, rolled down the sidewalk, over the curb, and down into the gutter. And the little boy jumped up and he gasped and he ran over and he looked down into the gutter and he said, "Lord, there goes your dime." Now, I know there's nobody here tonight that ever did anything like that in your life. The Lord Jesus said it is more blessed to give than to receive. And the times are few and far between in my life when I hear or see another demonstration of that besides the Lord Jesus. Is it more blessed to give than to receive? Have we done what we could? Is there anybody here tonight who's had enough blessing? Or could we use some more blessing? It's more blessed to give. The Christians of the New Testament, and we can start with this woman here in Mark 14, and we can go right on through until we reach the end of the New Testament, and we will find that the life of early Christians was a life of giving, not receiving. This woman didn't come to the Lord for what she could get from Him. She came for what she could give to Him. When was the last time you looked forward to the opportunity to give to the Lord? When was the last time you took stock of your resources and you said, "Let's see now, am I doing what I can? Could we live on less than we live on? Is there something that we are thinking about getting that we're saving for, like this alabaster box of ointment, that we could do without and lavish on the Lord instead? Is there something that we have that we could transform into money by selling it, and transform that money into gospel literature, and transform that gospel literature into people who are saved, thus following the prescription that the Lord gave His followers in Luke chapter 16 and verse 9. But I say unto you, make unto yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when it fails, they may receive you into everlasting habitation. Are you making any friends for eternity with the resources that God has given you? Have you done what you could? We sing these hymns. I'm sure you've heard them. Take my silver and my gold. Not a mite would I withhold. You know, lying is a sin. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my heart, my life, my what? My all! Have you given your all? You know, holding back was the sin of Ananias. It was said to him, while it was your own, you could have done what you wanted with it. But why did you pretend to give all and hold back? Why did you lie to the Holy Spirit? Why did you and your wife behave as if you had done what you could when you hadn't done all that you could? Now, if you'd done all that you wanted to and you stated it that way, that would be one thing. But to say you've done all that you could is a very serious statement. It was James Dobson who wrote one time about the playing of a game of Monopoly that he was involved in. And he said he was playing it with his family for the first time in 15 years. He said before too long, a bit of the old excitement and the enthusiasm came back to the game, of course, especially as he began to win. And he owned Boardwalk. Now, you folks are going to act like you don't know what Boardwalk and Park Place is, and I know good and well you do, so don't give me those blank stares. He owned Boardwalk and Park Place and all the railroads and all the utilities. And he was stuffing $500 bills into his pocket and under the edge of the board. And pretty soon, the game was over. He had won. And his family got up and silently marched off to bed and left him there to put everything up. He said, I began to put those pieces back into the box. And he said, I lost all of the joy of winning the game. He said, it was over. And I didn't own any more than the people I defeated. It all went back into the box. And he said, and God showed me that there was a lesson here beyond the game of Monopoly. It's the story of life. We struggle, we save, we buy, we possess, and we refinance, And then at the end of life, we have to put it all back into the box, and we don't own any more than the people that we defeated. Have you done what you could? The only way to see it again is to send it to heaven ahead of you, to invest it in the eternal work of God now. Have you done what you could? The joy of giving. And here's another joy, the joy of prayer. Oh, I almost laugh as I say this. Oh, the sheer delight of a single hour which before thy throne I spend. When was the last time, don't bother to raise your hand or not raise it, we don't want to embarrass anyone, you spent an hour in joyful prayer to God? When was the last time you delighted to spend that hour in His presence? How about a half hour? How about 15 minutes? The joy of prayer. We're talking about the joy of fellowship with God. We're talking about the joy of being able to control world events, not through politics, but through prayer. Because prayer puts you there. You can work with any worker anywhere in the world, side by side, just by praying, and that's the joy. I don't have to go to the travel agent and buy a ticket, and then pack my suitcases and go down to the National Airport, and get my passport, and go through customs, and take off on a plane, and go overseas, and get off the plane, and get on a taxi, and drive somewhere, and get out and walk into the house where the missionary is. In one instant of time, at the speed of thought, I can be there with them in prayer, because prayer puts you there. It's a joy. When was the last time you could look back on your week and say, I've done what I could in prayer? All out giving. And last of all, but not least of all, the joy of Christian service. God is looking for a man or a woman in the world tonight, just the same as He was thousands of years ago in Ezekiel's day. He's looking for men and women who will stand up and who will volunteer to serve Him, not IBM, with their lives. He's looking for men and women who want more than a golden handshake or a watch at the end of life. He's looking for people who want to get directly involved in using up their lives to serve other people and to reach other people for Jesus Christ. I'm talking about the joy of doing the will of God with your life. Jesus said when He came to the earth, I delight to do thy will. It was His joy to serve God on the earth. No greater joy than to know that my life as I use it now will count for Him in eternity. Do you know that joy tonight? Have you done what you could? Have you presented your body to Him as a living sacrifice for service? Is He your joy and your aim in life? Have you done what you could? Tonight is the night to enter into the joy of dedication to the Lord. What is it? Is it that you need to be saved? Now is the time. Is it that you need fellowship with God? Now is the time. Is it there someone that you need to witness to? Some soul that the Lord has laid on your heart right here tonight? Someone that you need to talk to about the gospel? Is it the joy of prayer? Or giving? Or giving your life to Him for service? And if we will evaluate ourselves by the life of this woman, may God help us to be able to bow our heads before Him right now and say, God helping me, Lord Jesus, I will do what I can to make my life count for You. Let's pray. Lord, tonight we bow in Your presence and we realize that it is not going to be left up to any one of us to evaluate the other's life. But there is coming a day when You will look at us with those loving and yet all-knowing eyes of Yours, and You will evaluate our lives. Oh Lord, how we want to be able to hear you say on that day, he has done what he could. She has done what she could. Lord, deal with our hearts tonight that we might not leave here until we have made that commitment to you. We pray it in the blessed name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Now remember this card here on the table. Go on to Mrs. Roxanne Daniel. Sign it, please. Get up to the snack bar and get your refreshments. Come back to the pavilion as quickly as possible. We have a big array of talent, and we want you, and we trust you'll come back for the talent program. You're dismissed.